Live from the Hot Stove Lounge, the Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Tuesday night as the Flames fall 3-1 to the Washington Capitals here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. It's Pat Steinberg along with you, and we kick off our Flames Talk postgame by going right to the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. And right to the Flames dressing room we go. We're joined by Flames forward Clark Bishop after this one. Hard-fought game, Clark. How did you see this one? First of all, thanks for doing this, but how did you see this one tonight? How did you feel this one went for your group?
Yeah, I think we were good. I think we were there all night. Just a couple few little things that, we can be better on. But, if we play like that, I think, we can win games here.
That's a tough team on the other side. What are kind of the keys to making sure you come out with the right result against a team like the Capitals?
We just need to be fast and be on them at all times. Don't give them any space. And, if we do that, I think we'll come out on top.
Clark, you played with Ryan Lomberg and Adam Klapka tonight. Just how did you feel about your trio this evening?
Yeah, I think we did our job. I mean, we were hard in on the forecheck, a couple chances, and, I think that's what you ask out of your fourth line.
Overall, it's been a nice little run for you back in the NHL. How have you felt back at this level?
Yeah, I'm feeling better each and every day. I get to the rink and, just getting to the rink and, I'm here at camp with these guys and get to know them a little bit. But getting in the regular season and getting to know them a little bit more, it every day gets better.
You just in terms of how you're feeling on the ice, how has it evolved since that first game against Buffalo?
Yeah, like I said, off the ice, each and every day I feel better. I think tonight I felt probably my best out there, and just I think each day feeling more comfortable out there with the guys.
And a final thought just about this team and the locker room you walked into and the way this group plays. What strikes you about this group you're a part of now?
Just seems like there's no fight. Every day guys want to win and move forward. So I think that's a great attitude to have in the locker room.
Clark, appreciate the time and good luck on Thursday. Thanks for doing this, hey?
Thank you.
That is Clark Bishop after a Flames 3-1 setback against the Washington Capitals here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. And that's our look inside the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Flames Talk postgame show well underway on this Tuesday night. It's Pat Steinberg along with you around the table with Megan Mickelson and Derek Wills. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The phone line's open at 403-240-4444. Text line at 960-960. Mick, our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota in the pregame show. We were talking about, hey, the Flames going up against Alex Ovechkin and his Wayne Gretzky chase, the number one team overall in the Washington Capitals. A couple of big blunders end up doing them in, and Logan Thompson, who's been one of the best goaltenders in the NHL, the Calgary kid, comes back home and looked like one of the best goaltenders in the NHL on top of that. So Flames fought hard, but couldn't come away with 2 points tonight.
Yeah, my biggest takeaway from that one is just how impressive the Flames were, and I thought that they were really good against another one of the top teams in the NHL in the Winnipeg Jets on Sunday and again tonight. So some really promising performances as of late, and thought that they were really good tonight. And yeah, I mean, you come up against a hot goaltender, can't seem to buy a bounce, but it just comes down to those couple of blunders. And I think that's why it would sting a little bit for the group, because I mean, you eliminate one silly turnover, one kind of thoughtless penalty by Blake Coleman, and you're in a really good position in this hockey game. So those are mistakes that you can't afford to take against a team like the Washington Capitals when offense is so hard to come by. But overall, like, just some really good work in the offensive zone, and that was one of the biggest things that I took away, was just how impressive it was the way that they were able to generate movement, have some sustained offensive zone time, and create some opportunities going toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the NHL.
Yep. Let's say hello now to Flames assistant coach Trent Cull, who joins us here in the Hot Stove Lounge following this one as well. Trent, how did you see this one from your group's perspective? What'd you like? Maybe what you didn't like tonight?
What did I like? I thought that, you know, we had a pretty decent game 5-on-5. We did some pretty good things. I mean, I guess when it kind of, I mean, just to be plain about it, I guess I thought that maybe they got, you know, some turnovers, or for both teams, really, and then they capitalized maybe on theirs, and we didn't capitalize on ours, and they get a 5-on-3, we get a power play goal, and then they get a shorty, so... I don't know. It's kind of I thought it was a pretty good effort by us, and unfortunately we're on the wrong side of it. So,
First of all, nice suit. Looking sharp.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Tyson Berry comes back into the lineup and up from the Wranglers after that quick two-game conditioning stint. Thought that he had a really strong game. What did you see from him?
Yeah, no, you know what? He's jeepers. You know, in the second period there, he rings one off the bar, the join there. You know, like, that's what he does well. And I think it actually... The whole, I guess, setup of it all, of having him go down and playing some games. And I know I was talking to him this morning. He said he played like something like 26 minutes the one night. And I said, well, it's perfect. That's exactly what you needed. And he agreed, you know. And so it's a good setup for that. And I thought he had a real strong game. And that's not an easy thing to do, as we know, because he had been out for how long before that, right? So it's a good recipe. I thought he had a strong game, and not only just on power play, but 5-on-5 as well.
We've talked a lot about how important internal competition has been for the Flames this season, and one of the competitions has been on the back end to be that number six guy. And right now, without Kevin Ball, you're down a defenseman for the first time this year. But you know, how important has that been to keep everybody on their toes, because they know if they don't perform up to their standards or to the team's standards, that another guy's looking to steal their job?
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't comment all year on it, in the sense I've only been here for whatever the month it is or whatever, but no, I think that it's the idea that, like you said, that everybody's vying for spots, you know what I mean, vying for certain positions, and to be honest with you, I mean, everybody wants to play in the National Hockey League, right, so they want to be an everyday player, so the internal competition is good. Now there's that, with Baller out, like you said, there's an opportunity not only to be a guy in the lineup, but also, you know, now we're you know, I guess you'd say, kind of auditioning people to be in the top four as well and play against other teams' best lines every night.
We're chatting with Trent Cull, Flames assistant coach, with us following a 3-1 loss to Washington. You know Clark Bishop and Adam Klapka really well from your time with the Wranglers. They're up now on this team. What'd you make of those two and Ryan Lomberg on that line tonight?
Actually, I thought that line was pretty effective, especially, like, I thought in the first period they looked really good. You know, I know they had an opportunity there. I think it was right in the end of the third there as well, but you know, I thought they were solid. They contributed, and you know, they were getting pucks deep, doing their job, forechecking as well. So I actually thought they had a little bit of jump and a little bit of jam there.
The penalty kill, you're in charge of that, obviously. You know, one of those nights where the numbers aren't going to look good because the Washington Capitals end up scoring. But if you think about it, I mean, it's a 5-on-3. I always hated killing 5-on-3 penalties. But 5-on-4, thought it looked really strong. What did you see on the PK?
Yeah, no, I think we let them inside just on their entries a little bit. We want to push those guys outside the dots. That was one of the kind of the, I thought, 4 versus 5 for sure. And then even the 3 versus 5, I mean, you've got a guy who can is pretty much going to be the best goal scorer in the National Hockey League of all time, and he so you got to give him some attention, I guess you'd say. And we had a plan to try to you know, take away the seams. And you know what, they're good hockey players. You know, they're out there, three of us and the five of them, they make a nice play to the backside there and catches us off. So, but you know what, I thought 4-on-5, we did some good things in the zone again, especially versus a guy who's, you know, the puck's going to go to him and he gets a good chance once in a while, and Wolfie was up to the task there with a couple times with a couple of big saves. But they've got a few other weapons there too that really kind of makes them dangerous as well. And you know, quietly, you know, you got Wilson kind of skating around out there, and he's got 9 power play goals. So we have to make sure about a lot of things in around the net. But I thought the guys, you know, especially in the third, like, we needed some kills there, and they got the job done, which was good.
You talked about the competition to be one of the top four defensemen. When healthy, your top three is written in stone with Kevin Ball and Rasmus Anderson on a pairing. And then you've got Mackenzie Weegar, who's played on the left side. He's played on the right side. We've seen him play with Joel Hanley. Tonight, for the first time, we saw Jake Bean play in a top four role. What did you think of him on a pairing with Weegar?
Yeah, no, I think one thing about Jake is that when he's on, he's a real good puck mover, right? And so I thought that he was, like I said, like, I thought he was good. Like, I think our whole team, like, 5-on-5, I liked our effort, you know. It was just capitalizing and finding a way to get that one at even strength. I don't think there's going to be many nights where if you're not getting that one goal even strength, that's going to put you in a bad spot, right? So, but no, you know what? I thought Jake was good. He defended well. He moved pucks well. And again, like we said, against a team that's got some pretty dangerous top two lines for sure.
Last one for you, Trent. Here you are. You're back on home ice. Been a lot of time on the road over the last number of weeks, but now you've got five of your next six here in this building, then the break. Just how important is this stretch? How important is it for your group to kind of make some hay here on home ice?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, it's probably not the exact start we wanted. I think that's one of the best starting teams in the National Hockey League, right? So we want to make sure that we're really tight to start against other teams, not giving them an edge for sure. So, but and then taking advantage of the dome. I mean, it's a great place to be, you know, especially for me, new coming in and seeing that atmosphere and feeling it and hearing it. Want to try to have some good first periods, good first 10 minutes, good first 5 minutes of just getting ourselves going, getting the crowd into it, because it certainly does help. And that's something we look to obviously have this over the next, I guess it's 2 weeks, yes.
Thank you, Trent. Good luck on Thursday. Hey, thanks for doing this.
Yep, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you for the compliment.
It is a good suit. Trent Cull joining us post-game following this one. It's a 3-1 setback against the Washington Capitals. As our Flames Talk post-game show is well underway on this Tuesday night with Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson. My name is Pat Steinberg. Let's select a hardest-working Flame right now. Mick, which way are you leaning on the hardest-working Flame tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to give this one to Tyson Barrie. I just think that of all the guys, he had by far just the toughest situation coming into this game. Hadn't played since November the 12th. And, I mean, I thought against the Winnipeg Jets, like the back end was just kind of, they were missing something. And you put him into the lineup tonight, and I just thought that he gave that back end that much more strength and was really, really solid. I mean, the power play assist and just the puck patience and the poise that he has rings one off the bar. I mean, if that puck is an inch lower, it's in the net. So I thought that he stepped in and did a really nice job on the back end.
Tyson Barrie, your hardest working Flame this evening. Willsy, I just wanted to go back. We haven't had a chance to actually talk with you because you kind of sat down and then Trent Cull was in here. But just following up on the marquee matchup, heard Mick's thoughts on the game. How'd you feel about Calgary's effort tonight?
Well, first of all, just honorable mention on hardest working Flame, Rasmus Anderson, a season high 6 shots, 9 attempts, was right into it with Tom Wilson, and getting into it with that guy is something you have to be pretty confident to do. And then they had the exchange in the penalty box, Anderson reenacting Wilson getting injured. I'm using air quotes on the cross check from Adam Klapka. So liked Anderson tonight. As far as the Flames game, I thought they were the better of the two teams tonight. Ultimately, it's a results-based business. They didn't get a point or two, but I really liked how they played against this Capitals team. And I said to Mick before we signed off from the broadcast booth tonight that, you know, after some wins, you leave the building thinking, didn't really like the Flames in that one, but they found a way. This is one of those rare instances where after a loss, I actually feel better about the team than I did before the game, because they went toe-to-toe with the top team in the National Hockey League tonight. 5-on-5, I think they were definitely the better of the two groups. And I guess the margin for error is so small when you're playing against one of the best teams in the league. It's the Mackenzie Weegar giveaway. Now, the Flames were able to overcome that and tie this hockey game at 1. And then it's penalties by Braden Pahal. And I'm not sure what Blake Coleman was thinking. I'm sure we'll hear from him post-game because he is accountable like that. But then you end up short 2 men for almost 2 minutes and killing off a 5-on-3 against this Capitals team. We knew that was going to be tough. And you know, they did not get through the first one. They did get through the second one. But that goal by Dylan Strome, which was a beauty, by the way, forehand to backhand, yep, right into the roof, ends up being the game-winning goal in this game. But I thought the Flames played a really solid game defensively, didn't give the Capitals much. Dustin Wolf was great again, and yeah, unfortunately they don't pick up 2 points tonight, but I did like their effort.
That was our marquee matchup. Flames going up against the number one team in the NHL, and they retake the number one spot in the NHL. Winnipeg temporarily went back there earlier tonight when they won, and then Washington, with a better points percentage, takes back over top spot in the NHL. So back-to-back games or consecutive games, top team in the West, oof, and then top team in the East, and just another 3 games in 4 nights. Oh, and they play again on Thursday. This schedule has been an absolute grind. Marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills. Tell Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the Giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clearout is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until July 2025. We will hear from Rasmus Anderson very shortly on our post-game show. But, you know, Wilsey with the nomination there for Raz on the hardest working flame, which I think you can absolutely see, Mick. And on top of that, I like a little fire from number four. I will never forget the Matthew Tkachuk, Zach Cassian night here at the Dome when the Battle of Alberta finally felt like it had ignited again. Well, I'll never forget Rasmus on our post-game show when he kind of spoke right to I was speaking to me, and he talked about Leon Draisaitl, how he thought Draisaitl was invisible. I posted the quote on Twitter. I still have Oiler fans quoting it to me every once in a while. But Mick, little fire from number four, gets into it with Tom Wilson. You have Rass mocking Wilson in the penalty box, and then Wilson, after the goal is scored, slamming his stick on the glass right at Rasmus. That was a little bit of a rivalry game, it felt like, tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fire, and I like the emotion. I also, though, would say, like, as a player, you need to proceed with caution as well. The reason why I didn't honorable mention him is because when he took that power play at the end of the game, he is the quarterback on the second power play unit, and he takes himself off of that. So I do think that, you know, there's been times. I mean, we saw Dan Lambert on the bench against the Minnesota Wild, had to tone him down and reel him in because he had four penalty minutes. He's a player for me that if you're going to stir things up, that's a great thing, and you want to see that emotion and that fire, but you need to do it without ending up in the penalty box. So that's kind of my thought on that.
Yeah, and he's matured over the years. I'm not sure that poking the bear when the bear's name is Leon Draisaitl is the best idea. Tom Wilson isn't at that level, but still a really good player in this league. And as we talked about on the broadcast, since he came into the NHL, Tom Wilson leads the league in both penalties taken and penalties drawn. So no surprise to see him in the penalty box as often as he was tonight. But it was a fun hockey game. It really was. And yeah, Rasmus Anderson, if he's eventually going to be the captain of this hockey club, will probably have to simmer down at times. But you know, I'm with you, Pat. I do love the fire. I just think there's a line, and you have to figure out when it's okay and when it's not okay to cross it.
I do like the fire, and I said that twice.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you can't.
For sure.
He can't be spending that much time in the penalty box. He plays too many minutes and is far too valuable.
Yeah. Leads the team in time on ice.
We'll hear from head coach Ryan Huska here very shortly. Get his thoughts post-game following this 3-1 setback. Fiery one, by the way. These two teams play again on February 25th in Washington, so maybe some renewed acquaintances in that regard. Before we hear from the head coach, though, let's get some final thoughts from you two. Megan Mickelson, Derek Wills, your thoughts and final thoughts following this 3-1 loss tonight.
Yeah, and an impressive game from the Flames overall. I mean, you think of the fact that they're missing yet another guy from their lineup in Kevin Ball, and I still think that they're missing Connor Zary big time. Have to think of, you know, Justin Kirkland and Anthony Mantha way back when and losing them. And, I mean, if you have a healthy Flames team, you know, what kind of damage they could be doing if they can do what they did tonight or play the way that they played against the Washington Capitals or like they did the other night against the Jets. That's what continues to be impressive for me, is just the way that no matter who goes down or who's playing, who's in, who's out, that they continue to just stay in the fight and continue to battle. So really, I liked their game. Like Trent Cole said, they needed to find one.
Yeah, at 5-on-5. And he made a great point. When you don't score 5-on-5 and you're only scoring on special teams, it's going to be tough to win games, especially when you're playing against the top team in the league, which the Flames were tonight. I actually didn't hate their game in Winnipeg on Sunday night. Second half of a back-to-back, you're playing against the top team in the Western Conference. I think 5-2 was a little misleading. I think the Flames were actually better than that in that game against the Jets. And I quite like their game against the Eastern Conference leading Capitals tonight. 5-on-5, they were the better of the two teams, broke even in the special teams battle, but just a few mistakes that wound up costing them as they have to avoid shooting themselves in the foot against the better teams in the league.
Yep.
But here's the good news. The Flames, unfortunately, did not move to within 1 point of the Kings for third in the Pacific Division. They did not open up a three-point lead on the Canucks for the second wild card spot in the Western Conference, but they got through the murderer's row of playing the top team in both conferences in a three-day span, and now you can't take your foot off the gas. If you play the same way Thursday night when the Ducks come to town, or Saturday night when the Red Wings come to town, or Sunday night in the second half of a back-to-back when you go on the road to take on the Kraken, you'll probably win all of those hockey games. So don't have a letdown against those three teams. Mm-hmm. You've got to beat the teams below you in the standings. All three of those teams are on the outside looking in. If the Flames want to make the playoffs with the position they're currently in, if you beat the teams that you should beat, you're probably going to punch your ticket to the postseason. So three important games coming up, including two on home ice where the Flames have been really good. So looking forward to Thursday night.
See you back at practice on Wednesday morning. Thank you, friends.
Bye, Pat.
Good night, Pat.
Megan Mickelson, Derek Wills signing off on this Tuesday. Your final score 3-1 here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. It's time for head coach Ryan Huska. Let's hear from him following this one as he just wrapped up in the Ed Whalen Media Lounge. Here is the head coach.
Ryan Blake said that he thought your team was the better team at 5-on-5 tonight. A couple mistakes and power plays are kind of the difference. Is that an assessment you agree with?
I thought they were a good team too. But I did like the way we played. And I don't know, when you look at the power plays, they scored one, we scored one. So that's kind of a saw-off, right? There's lots of this game that I really did like. A little execution at times was off. We just have to find a way to put some in the back of the net. You know, it's been a bit of a challenge for us for sure. I know we have guys that are capable of doing that. And their goaltender played well too. Like, you have to give him some credit. But in these tighter games, one, you have to win, or even the special teams, which we did. And then you have to find a way to play like we did 5-on-5, but you got to find a way to score.
Yep. Safe to say we're going to see Tyson Barrie again sometime soon, potentially?
I thought Tyson did a good job tonight. You know, I mean, he hit the crossbar too on that one play. It would have been nice if it would have went for him. That would have made for quite the night, I think. But he's got a skill on the offensive blue line, and you know, he moves the puck around with a lot of confidence when he's up there. So I thought he did an excellent job tonight.
I know in this league there's no points for moral victories, but you know, how do you look at, you know, the fact that you went up against the best team in the league and actually were right there to the end? Not mean much right now.
No, hey, to me it's about the way we play all the time. Like, if we are consistent with our effort that we had tonight, the effort that we had 5-on-5 in Winnipeg the last time we were there, most of the efforts we've seen from our guys this season, I mean, they're pretty consistent with how we show up. So we're in the business. We got to find a way to get points right now, right? So if we want to stay where we are currently at, we have to find a way to turn these closer games into wins against the better teams like this one. So our players know that they can beat teams like this. They do. It's just a matter of making sure we get the job done.
We all saw a clap. Does that become a source of frustration when the lack of scoring prevents you from getting points that you feel like you maybe deserve?
Anytime you're scoring one goal and we've had some chances that we could have capitalized on, some players are going to leave here for sure, like, feeling a little bit frustrated, and that's totally normal. But our team is that type of team where we have to, we're good in playing those tight games. And, you know, I think they understand where we're at as a team. That's, we're not going to score a ton of goals. That's the way we are. But having said that, you have to find a way to bear down and bury when you get your chances.
Trying to be repetitive, but like, with that said, I mean, a mistake like the one on the first goal must be frustrating on some level.
Mistakes happen all the time, right? Unfortunately, that one ended up in the back of the net.
We saw Klapka going at Wilson there in the third period. Like, how do you assess his game, and do you want him to be engaged like that going after sort of the other teams?
Love the hit. I mean, that's the way he has to play. He's got to be physical like that. Did not like the penalty. You know, you take. With the way our penalty kill is, it's not the strength of our team right now. And against a good power play, you got to be careful in those situations.
Just just going back to Tyson for a second, you had Rasmus up at a forward spot for the power play units. Is that just trying to find a creative way to get him some power play time when you have those two righties with Weegs and Anderson there?
Part of it is Andy's got a heavy shot, so we wanted to utilize that shot a little bit more. You know, there's the one that he had, I think it was the first period tonight, where Blake Coleman hit a stick in front. Like, we wanted Raz to shoot the puck a little bit more, so it makes it easier for us to have that one-time threat over there.
Your fourth line group in general tonight, what did you think of their game?
I thought Bish was competitive, generated some chances. I thought he worked really hard. I thought they gave us some good shifts tonight.
Rasmus Anderson displaying a little bit of emotion there. Is that when he's at his best, or do you worry that sometimes it's a distraction?
No, it's at his best. I mean, you look at his weekend that we had, too, when we were on the road, and he was right in the thick of things in Minnesota. He was right in the thick of things in Winnipeg, and he was the same way tonight. I feel like when Ras is right on the line and he plays the game with edge, he's a really good player. And to me, he's played some of his better hockey the last three games.
There you go. That is head coach Ryan Huska post-game tonight following a Flames 3-1 loss to the Washington Capitals. As we are underway, your Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, wherever you get your podcasts, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Hey, call now, 403-240-4444. Text now, 960-960. Our phone lines are pretty clear, so if you want to jump in, you won't get a busy signal right now, 403-240-4444. Keep your text coming at 960-960. Lots to get to on our Flames Talk postgame show this evening. This is your Flames Talk postgame, and this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, your final score here at the Scotiabank Saddledome tonight. The Flames fall 3-1 to the Washington Capitals. And, hey, you know what? There were definitely things to like in this game. I like the fire. I like the intensity. I like the Rasmus Anderson-Tom Wilson back and forth in the third period, which we'll hear from Rasmus Anderson about in just a little bit. Spoiler alert, he doesn't really stoke the fire, so, like, don't expect anything too inflammatory from number four. But I just love it. More of that. Give me more of number four being that type of S disturber, if you will. The Flames controlled a good chunk of this game at 5-on-5. The Flames have the 5-on-5 shot attempt edge in all three periods. Actually, didn't have it in the third period, but did in the first two by a wide margin. 22-11 in the first period. 23-15 in the second period. It was 9-8 shot attempts the other way in favor of Washington in the third, but Flames finished over 60% on the shot share. They had a 9-5 high danger chances edge at 5-on-5, and then it got a little bit more, a little bit closer when you count in all strengths, 12-11 Calgary, when you start counting Washington's power plays. And that was a pretty dangerous power play tonight. But, you know, when you're playing against a team that defends as well as Washington does, one of the things that Logan Gordon and I were kind of talking about all night is just how hard Washington makes it to do anything clean in the neutral zone, in the offensive zone, whatever the case may be. When they don't have the puck, they are very adept at making life difficult on the team that does. They get sticks and passing lanes. They break passes up. They make you have to fight hard to recover. And they block a lot of shots. They get in a lot of lanes that way. And they do keep you to the outside pretty well. They blocked 23 shots in this game tonight against just 12 for Calgary. So good, like, when a game's going to be like that, and the Capitals have got maybe a little more game-breaking talent, maybe, and we're, you know, getting great goaltending from Logan Thompson, a Vezina Trophy, like at the very least, a Vezina Trophy candidate this year, you can't make the type of mistakes the Flames did. You can't have Mackenzie Weegar throw the puck into the middle of the ice, kind of blindly, when they're scrambling around, and that allowed Pierre-Luc Dubois to walk right in and rip it to make it 1-0. And then right after you tie the game, you can't close your hand on the puck if you're Blake Coleman. You can't do that. And it was definitely, I know he wasn't thinking, he wasn't trying to do that necessarily, momentary brain lapse, but still can't have it happen. Still not a situation that you can have happen. So blunders, mistakes like that end up in the back of your net. They happen, but on this night, they just happen to really, really hurt the Flames. Okay, phone lines are open. We are pretty thin on the phone lines tonight, so if you want to jump in, now's the time to do so. You won't get a busy signal at 403-240-4444. So jump in right now if you want to chat on the phone lines. The text line open at 960-960. We'll get to both the phone lines and the text line here very shortly, but right now, let's go back inside the Flames locker room. Check in with Rasmus Anderson post game right now.
What do you see as the difference out there tonight?
I thought we were the better team, especially 5-on-5. And you know, they score a 5-on-3 goal, and we don't manage to score more than one PP goal. And I didn't feel like we really made it too difficult on Thompson in that. And I thought that was different. I thought we were the better team 5-on-5, and you know, we scored one power play goal, but we didn't manage to get those you know, the chaos in front of the net.
Do you see it then as a like great team coming in and all that, but was this a missed opportunity for you guys?
I think we should definitely at least get on 1 point, and as I said, I thought we were better 5-on-5, and but you know, there's a reason why they're the top of the standings, and they find ways to win. And you know, it's a great learning experience for us, and you know, to just create a little bit more.
How would you characterize your exchange with Tom Wilson?
I mean, it's emotions, right? And you know, I know he gets triggered by certain stuff, and you know, but it's emotions, and you know. When you look back at it, it's all good on my part at least. And you know, we're down 2-1 with 4 minutes left, and you know, it's a couple scrums, and you know, there's a lot on the line for us. And and as I said, it's just it's a lot of emotions. You know, I think that's one part of the game that I enjoy, is to chirp a little bit and get under his skin. And It's just the way it went today. Today was Wilson, and you know, next game is someone else probably.
Were you aware that it was Mangiapane who took you out? Obviously.
He touched my beard a little bit after, but I didn't. I didn't really want to. You know, I wanted to power play and not do anything back. And I know I saw it was him, and I kind of giggled a little bit. And you know, it's. It was different playing against them today, but you know, as I said, the chirping and the emotions, it's all part of it. And you know, I think it's fun, and I think it's fun to get chirped sometimes too. It makes you feel alive a little bit.
When's the last time you lined up at forward on a power play unit?
I mean, I've done it here and there this year, especially, you know, when Tyson's in the lineup, he's so good on the power play, so I don't mind moving over. And and you know, he does a good job of teaming up too, so you know, wherever the coaches need me, I'm there.
It looked like, you mentioned Tyson, it looked like that conditioning stint might have paid off for him.
Yeah, I thought he played really well. And as I said, you can tell how skilled he is from the red line and forward. And you know, he makes those plays, and you know, takes a great shot. Colsey tips it, and he hits a crossbar later. And you know, tees me up on a 6-on-5. If Hubie bats that in, he probably has a 2-3 point night. And but as I said, you know, we just didn't get the bounces, and we didn't make it tough enough for Thompson in that.
Rod, do you and Wilson have a history at all?
You know, it's not the first time we chirp each other, and you know, it was pretty quiet until the end. And you know, got him going, he got me going, and you know, it worked out for them. And but you know, as I said, it's all fun, and yeah. It's part of it, in my opinion, at least.
There you go. That is Rasmus Anderson post-game following this 3-1 setback against the Washington Capitals here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Rasmus was all over this game. He played a ton of minutes. He was very good. He was engaged. He played 23-44, 6 shots, 9 attempts. 4 block shots. Thought Rasmus was all over this one. And then, as you said, you hear him, again, didn't really get too what too inflammatory when it comes to the Tom Wilson stuff, but definitely said, hey, I know he gets triggered by some things, so hey, you're in the heat of the game, it's emotions, let's get after it. I love it. The more of that, the better. I'm completely – now, I get where Mick and Wilsey are coming from. Like, yes, do it smartly, but the more fire you get from Rasmus – I always feel like the better, especially as he's gotten more and more mature over the last, you know, just because he more and more mature as a hockey player. This is what happens when you play more games and you're in the league longer. You know, the penalty that Adam Klapka took in the third period, also on Wilson, don't do that. Like, you nailed him. You absolutely belted him in the corner. Leave it at that. And I get that he's trying to, you know, set the tone and stuff like that, but that cross-check to the small of the back is going to get called every single time, especially if you're Adam Klapka with the grand total of, like, 12 NHL games that's going to get called every time. You can't do that extra cross-check. I know you're trying to send a message. I know you're in the heat of the game, but again, that's one of those penalties, those mistakes that in a close game like this one, that can end up really, really biting you. Let's get to tonight's save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. Dustin Wolf got the start tonight, and his save of the game comes in period number 3.
Capitals captain knocks it near quarter to McMichael, and leaves it near side for Chickman, who backs it up to Carlson. Carlson to Ovechkin, and Wolf flashes the leather and makes a fantastic trapper stop.
That is a fantastic trapper stop on the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL. A little ahead of ourselves technically, but when it's all said and done, we know that Alex Ovechkin is going to be the number one goal scorer in NHL history as he's closing in on Wayne Gretzky's record. That is one of the 20 stops made by Dustin Wolf tonight, and that is his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. Okay, let's get to the text line. Hey, if you want to hear phone calls tonight, we need phone calls. No obligation. We go as long as we need to go, but we are very thin on the phone lines tonight. And so if you want to call, do so now, 403-240-4444. If you want to chat with us on Flames Talk postgame this evening, lots of text to get to, but extremely thin on the phone lines tonight if you want to chat. Let's start with Scotty in Victoria, though, on the text line at 960-960. Says they have to be able to crack shutdown goalies like Thompson if they're going to make the playoffs. One goal simply isn't good enough. Was nice to see Mangiapane back. I mean, I do think the Flames, with all their possession, could have done a better job of getting to the middle. I do think they could have done a better job of turning some of their offensive zone possession, of which they had a lot of at 5-on-5, especially in the first two periods. And they could have done a better job of turning that into higher quality looks and higher danger opportunities. But that doesn't change the fact that it was a very strong game from Logan Thompson, who gets named the number one star. This from Claude says, Pat, on paper, we were supposed to lose this one, and they did. The Capitals are more physical than I thought, and Logan Thompson much better than I thought, too. The penalty kill hurt him again, but still a decent game, even as they miss one of their top D-men and centermen. And honestly, on the penalty kill front, I actually didn't mind it. I mean, a 5-on-3 kill, I don't put that one as a bad penalty kill. Like, I know it counts on their penalty kill record, and it will end up going as a power play goal against. But you know, when I do a kind of thought, or when I'm thinking about how a team killed penalties, you know, 5-on-3s, I don't give complete passes to, but a little bit more of a pass. But I did think on the 5-on-4s that Washington had, including the 5-on-4 that they still had for like $1.40 after the game-winning goal from Dylan Strome on the 5-on-3, I thought Calgary's work killing 5-on-4 was quite good tonight. So that's a positive, and that's a step forward, because it has not been something that has been very good. In fact, the Flames actually jumped up a tick when it comes to their penalty killing numbers. They moved from 71.2 to 71.3 with this game tonight. They still are the 29th team in the NHL when it comes to killing penalties, though. Rick writes, Rick in Lakeview, good evening, Pat. Not the desired outcome, but this fan is proud of the effort in each of the last couple, especially considering the schedule of late and the opposition. Could have won this one with a bounce or two. Thompson appeared uber confident, definitely feeling it. I think they're going to see some very positive play from the boys leading up to the Four Nations. That is one point that is very, very true. Boy, does Logan Thompson look like he is feeling it. He did not, it's not that he didn't break a sweat, but, you know, even on the high quality chances that Calgary got on net, Logan did not look like he was on his heels or fighting it at all. He looked confident. He looked calm. He looked really, really composed all night long. This says, Flames can't get rid of Anderson. His snarl is next level. Get those Ovi calves, Pat. That comes from Wedley in Bridalwood. Yes, Ovechkin's calves, the size of human heads. And one of the reasons why I'm a big proponent of keeping Anderson if the opportunity exists is because of the way he sets the tone. I think the way he sets the tone, his attitude, his snarl, all that type of thing, all those types of things, rather, I think that's an important thing for this organization. Again, it's not just like Craig Conroy makes a decision and says, oh, no, we're keeping Anderson. It's not that simple. But all things being equal, that's one of the reasons why I think keeping Rasmus is a good play for the Flames. This says from Spencer, well, the work effort was there all night, had tons of chances too. The Caps really are good at keeping things to the outside, though. Thompson was a brick wall too. Two pretty bad turnovers causing two of the Caps goals. Barry looked decent for his first game back. I really like how he gets the pucks on net. Really smart with the lanes he uses. Really thought Kadri would get one tonight. He was flying. You know, I liked Barry in the offensive zone. I thought Barry struggled defensively. He was definitely hammered with Ozone zone starts. Barry finished above the line when it comes to 5-on-5 possession, but still finished about 30% below his zone start. He was 85.7% on his own ozone start ratio, easy for me to say, and 54.1% on his possession rate. So, you know, still bled too many shots, was still outchanced when he was on the ice at 5-on-5, but rang one off the post there. And on the power play, you really saw what he could do and how he can get pucks through, which is 100% one of his big-time strengths. So I'm curious to see if Barry's a guy that sticks around in this lineup going into Thursday against Anaheim. This from Murray in the Ranchlands. Pat, was an entertaining but also frustrating game tonight. Good effort, but the Flames did it to themselves with some bad plays and penalties. I'd still like to see the team get some scoring help that makes long-term sense, since I feel like a top 10 pick isn't happening this year. Mike says, Flames played a decent game, but the turning point absolutely was when Coleman took that very stupid penalty. He's a veteran and should know better. They happen, but yes, he will have owned it for sure inside and apparently owned it in the media as well, because that's who Blake Coleman is. Colton says, Pat, I was at the game tonight. Looks like they played three games in four nights. They looked a little tired, yet still controlled a lot of the game. The penalty Adam Klapka took was not necessary and turned the tide. Anderson making fun of Wilson, too. This says Tom Wilson's one of the softest players in the leagues, will hit players in defenseless positions, but will flop like a soccer player if breathed on. I like that. And that was part of what Rasmus Anderson was making light of a little bit. Now, should Klapka have cross-checked him in the small of the back while he was already down? No. Had Wilson not reacted the way he did, whether there was significant embellishment or not, he seemed like he was just fine when he was hammering his stick on the glass in the penalty box, which, again, I love. I love emotion on both sides. But whether there was embellishment or not, still a really dumb penalty by Klapka. Jeff in Lethbridge says, played a spirited great game, could have just as easily won this one. Once again, couldn't score. If they can play this well on most nights, they'll win these games. Although I do think the lack of offense is going to be something that does continue to be a big-time hurdle for them. Trent says, always sucks to lose. Offense still struggles. I really hope they bring Kerens back up after the AHL All-Star game. It's nice they let him enjoy the reward for all his hard work. Ball getting injured is a big hit to the club. I don't feel like they have a defenseman that can replace him from the farm. And plain and simple, they don't. There's nobody like Ball in the organization right now. This reads, the Flames should look at Matt Poitras from Boston as an option for a young center. He's only 20 and is a right shot. I think the Bruins would give him up, and if so, what would it take for them to do so? Also, do you think they're considering trading for young wingers at all or focusing solely on centers? If they're looking at some young wingers, how about J.J. Paterka? Only 23 and has some finish to his game, which the Flames are lacking. As for the first part on Poitras, I would doubt that Boston would be moving on from him, especially because they're at best a bubble playoff team in the Eastern Conference. Like, that's not a team that is clearly going to be in. That's not a team that is going to be cruising into the playoffs. Right now, they hold down the first wild card spot by 1 point on Columbus. Like, Boston, and they're tied for the third Atlantic spot with Ottawa. They're going to be fighting tooth and nail to get into the playoffs. I don't know if they trade him. And I'm skeptical that Buffalo deals a guy like Paterka unless they're getting something really, really significant back. I think that is that's a difficult one to see the Flames being able to pull off. That being said, Paterka's a hell of a player. And if you were to get him, I mean, it's tough to dislike adding a player like that to the organization. Only thing I would say, he is still a left shot, which is an area the Flames have a lot of. This reads, I guess Wolf now knows how Vladar feels playing the good teams. One goal scored. What else we got here? This from Dustin in Royal Oak. Patty, I agree with Wilsey. I like the Flames more after a loss tonight than after some wins. Nice to see Tyson Berry have a decent game. And as always, Wolfie gives him a chance to win. Penalty kill needs some work. However, the penalties they took tonight are unacceptable. All in all, they skated alongside the top teams well, but they need Zeri's energy back and didn't mind Kuzmenko tonight again. Side note, I've been saying for a long time, but thought I'd reiterate, the play-by-play team of Wilsey, Mick, and yourself is the best in the league. Thank you. That's very nice, Dustin. Appreciate that. And I'm going to guess that Mick and Wilsey do as well. And I thought Kuzmenko was dangerous again tonight. I liked him. But yeah, the penalties, there is some lack of discipline, and there were just a couple of mistakes that really ended up costing the Flames tonight. Lane in Bearspaw says, Patty, game synopsis, Klapka looked like a lost soul. Uyghur, his miscues are nearing the norm rather than the exception. Sorry, no Four Nations for you. Bean looked like he was playing with a Nerf stick. The Caps looked like they were hungover, and for the taking, Flames just don't have finishers. Unfortunate. Chris says, Rasmus saying that Barry is very skilled from the red line forward is quite the backhanded compliment. Hilarious guy. I don't think he meant it like that. This reads, Klapka isn't helping himself stay in the lineup, taking a penalty like that. Need a fourth line center and get Rory Karens back up. And finally, before we hit the phone lines, Michael says, they're hanging in the last couple of games with good teams. Just need that one goal or to cut out a few of those mistakes. The race will be tough because Vancouver has so much raw talent, but can a strong locker room outweigh elite talent down the stretch? And that is one thing, Michael, that we'll be finding out here in the next couple of months as to whether or not that indeed can be what holds off the Vancouver Canucks. Great stuff so far on the text line at 960-960. This is your Flames Talk postgame show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. I already said that. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Flames lose 3-1 to Washington. And to the phone lines we go. Tyler is kicking us off tonight. What's up, Tyler?
Good evening, Pat. I just want to say I'm so proud of the Flames organization and Ryan Huska. I think they're doing an excellent job this season. And if you look at the first two periods of this game, Calgary was out shooting Washington. This was a good first start of the game. I really was impressed. That's what they were out shooting Washington. And I'm impressed. So thank you.
That's anything else? That's just that's it. That's all.
I've been following him for so many years, and I like what Ryan's doing this season, and I'm very impressed. You know, a couple little slips ups tonight, but I really think this is a good team. If if you played a few games against Washington, I think Calgary would do, and I'm looking forward to the next match. This was an entertaining game tonight.
Yeah, and they play him again on February 25th, so a little less than a month away from the next time these two teams play. I thought the Flames on home ice did a nice job. They controlled play, especially in the first 40 minutes. I do think they could have done maybe a little more to get to Logan Thompson, maybe get some traffic there. But generally, I thought they did control a lot of it. Made a couple too many mistakes, though, in the first 40 minutes of play, and as a result, never had a lead tonight, right?
Yep. But like I said, you know, if you look at all those shots that Calgary had in the first two periods, that was some good hockey. And like you said, a couple little mistakes, but that was a good effort, I thought, by the Flames against Washington tonight.
All right, Tyler, you have yourself a great night, hey?
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate the time.
Call back anytime. Appreciate it. Full lines at 403-240-4444 with our buddy Eugenio up next. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Pat, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. This is my first call this year.
Is this the first one all year?
Yeah, man. I decided to finally give you a call because I'm going to give you a little bit of grief tonight.
Okay, that's all. You do that on Instagram and anytime I see you, so I'm used to it.
So how's everything, though? Good?
Good, man. I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in. Ready for big Champions League game on Wednesday, match day 8. Let's go. Doing well.
Robert jinxed himself the other day. He said that, because I still listen, he said Inter was going to win their first cup of the year, and they did not win the first cup of the year.
Oh, they didn't? I'm not as dialed on anything but La Liga.
They blew a 2-0 lead late in the second half and lost 3-2.
Who does Juventus have to wrap up?
Benfica, but we're already clinched. You guys are clinched. Yep. There's actually a chance we might play Real Madrid in the qualifying there.
Ooh, that would be.
We'll see what happens.
Hey, the boys are clicking. Killian is back to that's World Cup final. Killian and Mbappe have late. Anyway,
yeah,
people
will
turn it off. We keep talking about European soccer. So, what do you got?
Just a couple little pointers. So. I thought this year we were projected to finish near the bottom, and there we are in a playoff spot here today. And I think we've been good. I think Dustin Wolf, for me, if you got to give the Calder Trophy away today, I think you got to give it to Wolf, because without Wolf, I don't even think we're close to a playoff spot. He's been sensational. The grief I have a little bit with you and with our friend Robert a bit.
Okay.
And most Flames fans too. So I don't know if I noticed this stuff because I watch a lot of European soccer and I like the European style hockey, but the grief that Andre Kuzmenko gets from everybody, I think is so undeserved. And I'll tell you why. He's not good in his own end, but we knew this when we got him. He's lazy. We knew this when we got him. This is part of him. Did you watch Ovechkin tonight? Ovechkin 5-on-5 looks like he can't even lace his skates anymore. So most of his goals, obviously, this year come from the power play. With Kuzmenko, you got to live with what he brings to the table. We don't score many goals. Like, we don't score many goals at all. We got to be in the bottom, what, 5, bottom 10 in goal score?
For sure.
So Kuzmenko, honestly, I think is the most talented forward we have outside of Zari. I would put Zari first and then Kuzmenko second. Now, the problem that I have right now is...
At least offensive. I would say he's their most kind of offensively dynamic guy.
That's what
one
I meant.
Of them.
Yes, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, okay.
So my issue right now, and I even have an issue with Huska a little bit. So Kuzmenko, even when he was struggling, so he's gotten some goals of late, but he had one goal for the longest time. But the problem is I felt like Kuzmenko would have a decent game. And if you watch game in, game out, he's always creating. He's always creating. Even when he was struggling, he was always creating. He was just snake-bitten. But you have Popso that's getting first-line minutes that has 2 goals. Kuzmenko makes 1 mistake defensively. Again, we knew what we were getting. And then you pin him in the fourth line, and then with Lomberg and whoever, Rooney. Last week against Buffalo, he didn't have the greatest 40 minutes. But again, in the first 40, he did create a couple plays. You bench him the whole third. Luckily, we won that game. Then they give him a regular spot against Minnesota, scores 2 goals. Against Winnipeg, he was one of our best players. Tonight, he was one of our best players, I thought. I just don't get, again, we knew what we were getting.
Okay, so my only counter to that would be, fair enough, you knew what you were getting, not great defensively, but for a good chunk of his time this year, Eugenio, he wasn't even doing the things offensively that you needed him to. He wasn't shooting it. He wasn't putting pucks towards the net. He was just kind of a black hole whenever he touched the puck. He didn't really help you when he didn't have the puck. He wasn't doing much when he had it. And he was a generally very frustrating player for quite some time. So more recently, he's been much better. More recently, he's been shooting more pucks. More recently, he's been more dynamic offensively. But there was a stretch there of like 20,
right,
25 in a row where he wasn't even doing those things, and that's where it got a little frustrating because we know what he's all about defensively, and we know that we're not talking about the world's greatest player without the puck. But what you want from him is a guy that can really make it happen offensively. And even tonight, only two shot attempts tonight. With that guy's shot, don't you want to see a whole lot more than two shot attempts in a game? So that's the frustration with Kuzmenko, is that when he's on, like the two games against Winnipeg, like the game against Minnesota, he's one of the most dynamic players on the ice. And you're like, damn, that's what this guy can be. But then you don't see that for long stretches at a time. And so that's why I keep using the term enigmatic when talking about Kuzmenko, because you don't know what you're going to get on any given night.
He had a couple special plays tonight. Did you see that one pass to Huberto where Huberto just missed it? That's why I just think you got to keep, I just think you have to keep him in the lineup. We don't score enough goals. Like, we don't score goals. But anyways, enough about Kuzmenko, because I don't want to take all your time. Just a couple more pointers. Do you think, and I know you're a big fan of him, do you think we're starting to see the decline of Michael Backlund, because he's been really struggling of late?
Honestly, not really. What are you seeing in his struggles? I mean,
well, I feel like he's been not offensively. Offensively, he's still creating with Coleman and Coronado, but there's been a few misplays. Like, he had a really bad giveaway against Winnipeg. He had a really bad giveaway, I think it was against Buffalo.
He did have the one. He had the one really bad one that led to Let's take a look at my lovely map behind me. It was the game against St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis.
Where he coughed up a puck and it essentially cost him the game. I think the first game against St. Louis. Yes, that was one.
Yeah, the 2-1 game.
But that was the Tuesday. That was the Vladar start. Generally, he's been the same shutdown guy. He's been good defensively. He's been quietly productive offensively. So, honestly, I haven't really seen that with Backlund this year.
Okay. And then two last pointers, and I'll let you go. Do you think we keep Vladar as a backup all the way through to the end, or do you think he gets waived, traded, and we bring up Cooley? What are your insights there? Because Cooley's been pretty good with the Wranglers.
Cooley's been unreal with the Wranglers.
Yeah.
The best goalie in the American League. And you know, it was him and Askarov as the best two in the American League. Then Askarov got called up, and he's in San Jose now. Could that happen? Maybe. Only thing that I really worries the wrong word, that I'm very the only thing that I'm very aware of is Cooley's playing a ton in the American League right now, and he's never played that workload before. So I would worry a little bit about him coming up and then not playing a lot behind Wolf, because Wolf has taken over this net in such a big way, right? And so Wolf is their meal ticket in so many ways, and he's going to get a ton of work down the stretch. And so I think having Cooley play all those important games for the Wranglers, where he's the best goalie in the American League and a guy who's never played that workload, like, he's now at 26 games. That's tied for the most he's ever played in a pro season. So he's going to go well over the most he's ever played if he stays in the American League for the rest of the year. So could that happen at some point? Sure. I just wonder if, because I don't think there's a market at all for Vladar.
No.
I just wonder if you keep Vladar the rest of the year. If you can have an upgrade for him somewhere that can be that same guy who plays once every 5-6 games, sure. But otherwise, I wonder a little if you want to keep Cooley playing as many meaningful games in the American League as possible for the time being. That would be my thought on it, because I think Cooley and Wolf as a tandem next year could be outstanding. And that full season of Cooley with Mackenzie Skapski, the goalie coach in the American League, could do absolute wonders for him.
Agreed. Last point, trade deadline. You have two dream acquisitions for this team. Who are they?
Like realistic or pie in the sky?
Realistic. Well, obviously, we're not getting McDavid and Jack Hughes realistically.
Okay, so realistically, Dylan Cousins and Bowen Byram, both in a blockbuster trade from the Sabres. I have no idea what's going back the other way, though.
That's actually crazy you said that, because I went to the game with my brother-in-law tonight, and I was like, I don't think Vancouver's going to move JT Miller. I think they're going to move Pettersson. And I heard a rumor about Cousins and Byram going to Vancouver for Pettersson. I was like, imagine we somehow got Byram. That's crazy you said that.
Okay. I just think they need a left shot D, and they need a right shot center. That would solve both in one trade.
Can we get that deal done without moving Connor Zary?
Probably not.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Okay, Pat, good talking to you, man.
Be well. Hala Madrid. Too. Bye, buddy.
Bye.
Eugenio, one of my absolute favorites. Good to hear from you, buddy. 403-240-4444. That's your phone number as the Flames fall 3-1 to the Washington Capitals on this Tuesday night. It's Tim with us. What's up, Tim?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Hey, you know what? Almost everything I was going to talk to you about has already been said. Needed higher quality chances. I don't know. I just wanted to call in. My dad and I are driving back last year after watching the game. It was so much fun watching the Flames, even though they lost, how hard they worked. Just the energy was just awesome. I don't know. But I do have, a couple things. Just the guy that we were just talking, Jenny or whatever. I don't know if I agree with Ovechkin. He still looks pretty good. Maybe he doesn't skate. I thought he skated just fine, but he just looked like he put himself in the right spots at the right times and had some good chances. I don't know how many shots did he have? Like three, four, five?
Let's see. Ovechkin finished tonight with 4 shots, 5 attempts in 16 minutes and 47 seconds.
Yeah. Wolf looked awesome. I don't know. It was just awesome. The other thing, just one little thought. We were sitting beside two diehard Capitals fans, and we were talking about the goalie, Logan Thompson.
Yeah.
And they were pretty ticked off that I don't know if this is true or not. They said that he didn't get a look from Team Canada for the Four Nations Cup.
I don't know if he didn't. I don't know if he didn't get a look. I don't know. Like I don't know what the thought process was leading up to the decision.
I guess the other thing is
he didn't get named. He didn't get named, and I know that was there was a lot of controversy about it when he didn't get named, and his numbers since not being named have been out of this world.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe you can fill me in, but I don't even know who are the three goalies that are playing for Canada in the Four Nations Cup.
Now I gotta go. Now I gotta go look him up just to.
I don't even know.
It's all good. I know Jordan Binnington is one.
Right.
I'm just going to pull up the entire roster just so I don't get anything wrong. It is Binnington, Aiden Hill? Oh, that's right, Aiden Hill of the Vegas Golden Knights, who used to be Logan Thompson's teammate, Jordan Binnington of the Blues, and then Sam Montembeau of the Montreal Canadiens was the third one.
Right. Yeah, and I'll be honest, I haven't watched that. I don't know. I don't know. I'm excited for the Four Nations Cup. But
Four Nations face-off.
Honestly, I just wanted to call in. You said
Four what? Nations face-off, not Four Nations Cup.
Four Nations face-off.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, buddy. Anyways, I think you're awesome. Love listening to you. I just called in because you said the phone lines were thin, and I was just wondering what your thoughts were with Logan Thompson and possibly not being involved with Team Canada.
I would imagine if they were to sustain an injury or somebody pulls out that they might think about doing something there. So, I appreciate it, Tim. You have yourself a great night, hey?
You too.
Drive safe, hey?
Thanks.
Thanks, Tim. 403-240-4444 is your phone number. Let's say hello to Sammy following a 3-1 loss to Washington. What's up, Sammy?
Hey, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Second time caller.
Yeah, welcome back.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. It's always a pleasure listening to you and your knowledge and your wonderful program.
Well,
I have three questions.
Yeah.
Number one, Kuzmenko, what is his nationality? I was always wondering. I was trying to guess, but I don't want even to guess.
So he was born in Yakutsk, Russia, which is the coldest major city in the world.
Oh, wow. So he's a Russian player.
Yes.
Wow, okay. I always thought maybe he was a Czechoslovakian, something like that.
No, Russian.
Russian, okay. What about Dan Vedard? What is his nationality?
He is Czech. So Czech Republic or Czechia.
Oh, so he's the one who is Czech.
Yes.
Okay, okay, okay. And my third question, how do you feel about the only star of Flames tonight is the former Oilers?
Well, I mean, he plays for the Flames now, so we don't hold it against him that he did play for the Oilers at one point.
But he was the only star tonight, and he's a former Oiler.
That's okay. We'll allow it tonight.
No, I was following him when he was in he was playing for Oilers. He was a great player. I don't know what happened with him. Why he left Oilers or why he was kicked out? Do you have any idea?
Well, he wasn't kicked out. He was just traded for an upgrade. They traded Barry to Nashville for a part of the deal that got the Matthias Ekholm, and Matthias Ekholm is a pretty important part of that blue line.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, no, that is true. And but he was a great contributor when he was in Edmonton. He was up there as far as his work ethic, his contribution was great. I recall that.
Yes, but that was quite a number of years ago.
Right. Do you believe Tyson Barrie has a future with Flames, in your opinion?
Not a long-term one. I mean, he was a tryout player this training camp, so he was already coming to camp without a contract. I would imagine that, you know, could he get another one-year deal? Maybe, but I do think we're talking about a guy who is closer to the end of his career, and no guarantee that there's a spot next year. I mean, good on him tonight. I thought he played well tonight offensively. Thought that pairing struggled at times a little defensively. He's 33, so he'll be 34 next year. Doesn't mean that it's guaranteed that it's over, but do I think he's got a long future with the Flames? No, probably not.
Well, he was the only one who was that close to score the second goal tonight.
Yes.
So I give him a lot for that. I mean, look at the rest of the crew. I mean, one of your callers, in my opinion, was right on the money. It was Wolf who saved the night, even though they lost. I know it is still a loss, but Wolf, if he wasn't there, what do you think was their score?
Well, I mean, honestly, Flames probably had more quality chances than the Capitals did tonight. Wolf was fine, but Logan Thompson was the goalie that's the biggest talking point coming out of this one.
Right. Well, yeah, still, I would give Tyson a lot for somebody who is coming new to this organization, or, as you said, who knows how long he will be there, right?
I mean, he's here for the rest of the season, I'd imagine.
Uh-huh. But he was extremely significant tonight, wasn't he?
He took the shot that led to their only goal. He hit the post. I thought he had some time offensively, and I thought he was, you know, for his first game in the NHL in more than 2 months. Thought he held his own, and you know, Tyson's always a guy that has not excelled on the defensive side of things, and so we saw some defensive things that weren't as strong, but I thought for his first game back in more than 2 months, he held his own.
I think Craig should be should be signing him for a longer. I think he would have at least a couple of years of future in this organization.
I mean, Sammy, I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. Like he's been healthy scratch for a good chunk of this year, and I don't know. I don't know if there's a long future for Barry with the Flames, and I'm not writing it completely off, but I would be surprised if he's back next year.
And finally, as of right now, that we are almost more than halfway through the through this year. Mm-hmm. What is your prediction as far as the Stanley Cup final for this year? Do you want to do any prediction right now at this point?
No, but because I like you, I will. I will say Florida. You know what? I'm going to go Carolina. It's
no
Carolina's
way.
Year.
Please don't.
Carolina, and I'm going to say Carolina-Vegas. Carolina-Vegas.
Well, Vegas, I give you a lot for that. I mean, I am an Oilers fan, so I am hoping Edmonton goes back again to that final. But the East, I have a feeling, even though Capitals are at this point and they are doing that great, but they have proven over and over and over that either they don't get to the final, or if they get, they are going to lose in four.
Well, we will see, Sammy. I appreciate the call tonight.
Thank you.
Be well,
it
hey.
Was wonderful. Thank you so much for taking my call. You're all, as always, a wonderful guy, and always a pleasure and honor to listen to you.
Hey, no problem, Sammy. Be well, man.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Take care.
Let's do one more call before we go back inside the Flames locker room. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444 with Lucas up next. What's up, Lucas?
Hi, Patty. How are you doing tonight?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. We were at the Dome watching the game tonight. And I just wanted to say, like, the energy was really low in the crowd, and I thought the Flames needed something. Do you think Huska should have sent Klapka out to have a go with Wilson? Because they were jawing at each other at the bench for a while. It looked like they wanted to go, but didn't see Klapka on the ice at the same time as Wilson again.
Well, I don't. First of all, you're still in a game, like you're in a one-goal game. And Wilson's a Team Canada player. Adam Klapka's on the fourth line. I don't think you're going to try to go get him. And remember, he took that bad penalty in the third period too. So I don't know if that was, and I don't know if Wilson's going to oblige him either in a one-goal game. So I don't know how realistic that would have been.
Yeah, fair enough. And then another question. At this point, I'm guessing you get this question all the time. Are they buyers or sellers at the deadline?
I mean, to be determined. If things are where they are right now, and if they are kind of in the spot they're still in right now, I think neither, honestly. I mean, maybe very, very light buyers, like bargain bin hunters, but I don't think if it is where it is right now, I would be more inclined to say they'd be a stand pat team.
Yeah, fair. Okay, well, thanks, Patty. Have a good night, and love the show.
Thanks, Lucas. You be well, man. Appreciate the call.
Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
Phone lines remain open at 403-240-4444. Text lines open at 960-960. Flames fall 3-1 to Washington here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Let's head back inside the Flames locker room. Blake Coleman took that penalty in the second period that gave Washington the extended 5-on-3. And on that 5-on-3, Dylan Strome ended up scoring the game winner. Let's hear from Blake Coleman, his thoughts post-game tonight.
What you see is the difference out there.
I thought it was a pretty good game. I thought, honestly, I felt like we deserved better, but just some critical situations that were the difference. I think 5-on-5, I don't feel like it was really even that close who the better team was. We just didn't find ways to put pucks in the net, and a few breakdowns and, you know, mental mistakes.
Does it become sort of a missed opportunity then if you feel like 5-on-5 you were the better team tonight?
There's a lot of games in this league, and you know, sometimes you're going to feel like you're the better team and you're not going to win, and sometimes you're not going to be the better team and you'll find ways to get wins, and that's certainly been the case this year. And I think it's more about the process and feeling good about the way our team's playing, and I think if we put that product on the ice, we'll win more times than not.
Is your penalty one of the mental mistakes you were talking about?
Yeah, just fluke thing. I catch it with my top hand, which is kind of an uncomfortable spot to be in, and just a little mental mistake. Just kind of wasn't sure what to do with the puck really, but it puts us on a 5-on-3, and they capitalize, and can't give teams with good power plays that opportunity. And I think a few small moments in the game, but the big picture, I thought we played actually a pretty solid game tonight.
Are you just trying to swat it there and kind of close on it a little bit? Is that what happens?
Yeah, you just reach up, grab it with your offhand. It's just, like I said, I'd normally catch a puck in my left hand. It was just, for whatever reason, it was my top hand, and didn't really want to drop it in the crease. So just try to clear it out of the zone.
There you go. That is Blake Coleman post-game following tonight's 3-1 loss. And as we thought, owned the mistake and owned the situation, explained it. And unfortunately, it did lead to the game-winning goal. But on top of that, Flames only scored one goal tonight. So that also played into this 3-1 setback against Washington. Okay. It's Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game show. It is last call for phone calls. So if you want to chime in and chat with us tonight, we got one line open at 403-240-4444. We were thin to start, a little heavier at the end, so call now, 403-240-4444. Full lines open, text line open at 960-960. This is your Flames Talk post-game show, and this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Final score here at the Dome. Flames fall 3-1 to the Washington Capitals to kick off a three-game homestand. Flames are getting ready now to take on Anaheim on Thursday. Flames have dropped back-to-back games in regulation as they continue fighting tooth and nail for that final playoff spot in the Western Conference. Tyson Barrie returned to action tonight, played his first game in 78 days. He went 77 days between NHL games. Now, he did play some American League games over the weekend on a conditioning loan, played Saturday, Sunday in the American League. The Flames did not practice Monday, and then Barrie in the lineup tonight, his first NHL game since November 12th, and he picked up an assist on the only goal, took the shot that was tipped by Blake Coleman to make it 1-1 in the second period, also hit the post a little bit later on while the Flames were down at 2-1 with another opportunity to tie. Let's hear from Tyson Barrie, our final look inside the Flames locker room right now.
How did you feel out there, Tyson?
I felt good, yeah. Like I said, it was nice to go and play some games and kind of get a feel, so it made tonight a lot easier. And I felt good. Obviously, would have liked a different result, but it was a good battle from the boys.
It seemed pretty seamless, hey, back on the power play. You were jumping up in the rush a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's what got me in the league, and, it's kind of been my bread and butter the last, 14 years, so probably a little too old to start reinventing the wheel, so I'm just going to try to do what I do best and do it to the best of my ability. So, I felt good. It was nice to get back on the power play and work it around, and it would have been nice to get one to tie it up there, but unfortunately we fell a little short.
Tyson, you talked about wanting to be ready when an opportunity came, and you've been at this a long time, but do you put any pressure on yourself to show, like, okay, I haven't had this chance in a while, and I'll show you guys that I'm ready?
I think I put a lot of pressure on myself at the beginning of the year to come in and make the team, and, obviously I hadn't played in, almost 3 months, so it was, I was just trying to come in and enjoy it and play loose and not put too much pressure on myself and squeeze the stick too hard. That's when you start making mistakes and, I find myself back in the rafters real quick. So I was just trying to keep it loose and stick to the things I know well. So, I wasn't putting too much pressure on it.
You were playing on the left tonight, a couple of nights ago with the Wranglers. You were on the right side. What's the big adjustment for you moving side to side?
Yeah, I think the right side is, the side I'm most comfortable with. But moving to the left, it's just little adjustments, things that come with getting used to it and making plays to the neutral zone is one of them. Picking up pucks in the O-zone, you're on your backhand a lot of the time, picking it off the walls and closing your gaps, shutting guys down, that sort of thing. But, Weegsy does it really well. I've picked up a few things watching him, so just trying to get the hang of it.
Team-wise, how do you digest a night where you I think, outchance probably one of the better teams in the league and don't get the results.
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked a little bit in here after the game. It was a good hockey game. You know, they got the 5-on-3 goal, and, you know, we had a couple looks. I think, you know, they're one of the top teams in the league, and we were right there with them all night. So nothing to hang our heads about, just reset, and we know how we play, and what makes us successful, just keep to it.
There you go. Tyson Barry, his thoughts after he returned to action tonight. First game since November 12th. Picks up an assist in this 3-1 loss to Washington. Let's get back to the text line at 960-960. This from our friend Smiley, who says, Patty, sucks the Flames lost, but thrilled Ovechkin had 4 shots on net and came away empty. Yeah, Dustin Wolf didn't allow Alex Ovechkin to up the tally on his record chase tonight. This says, Pat, I like the look of the fourth line tonight. I didn't love Bean. Seemed to be fighting the puck tonight. Also didn't love Backlund on PP2 this evening. Seemed to be some pretty soft zone entries. Good game overall. Bad penalties tonight hurt them. I did like the fourth line. I thought Klapka's penalty was dumb. Otherwise, I quite liked the fourth line. I thought that Lomberg played with his regular energy. I thought Bishop was good down the middle, and they had a decent night. They finished well in the black when it comes to their possession metrics. They generated. They were able to create a couple of things out there and generally didn't find themselves underwater. So I thought it was a pretty solid night for the fourth line this evening. What else we got here at 960-960? Some of these don't really have any relevance. This says, I sat behind Logan Thompson tonight. He just looked loose. After every save, he was chirping the guys who took the shot. Also, do you know what Wilson's hand gestures to Rasmus were about? No to that point, but definitely on the front of Logan Thompson. Boy, did he look loose is a perfect word for it. Not loose in terms of pucks getting past him, but loose just in terms of he looked super confident out there. What else we got here at 960-960? This says trade Wolf before the hype goes away. Okay, that seems silly. This says hope your evening's well, Pat. I hope you will hold the captain and other veterans outside of the top line accountable for producing an absolute dud. Well, I didn't really think this was a dud of a game, so probably not going to do that. This says, Pat, a bit off topic from Chris. With Zane Parekh putting up great numbers in the OHL, is there a worry that room for development will be limited next year in the CHL? The CHL has not produced many youngerish all-star defensemen. The top 26 and younger defensemen not from the CHL are Makar, the Hughes brothers, Miro Heiskanen, Lane Hutson, Adam Fox, Owen Power, Rasmus Dahlin, Moritz Seider. The only younger high-skilled D-men from the CHL that I can think of are Evan Bouchard, Brant Clark, Noah Dobson, and Thomas Harley. In my opinion, it seems like the best thing for Parekh's development next year would be at a higher level than the CHL, but he can't play in the AHL. Should he consider playing NCAA hockey to play tougher competition now that players can switch over? Note, he did graduate from high school at 15, so he's got the brains. That comes from Chris. The only thing that I would say about that, Chris, is the problem there is that I don't think that they've worked out the rules for a guy who's already under contract in the NHL. Zane Parekh's contract was signed before this CHL NCAA ruling happened. Like, that happened only a few months ago. Parekh signed in July. So because Parekh's under contract with a pro organization, with the Calgary Flames, I don't know. I don't believe the rules are worked out yet in terms of him being able to go the NCAA route. So that would be my biggest answer to that. Also, I don't think necessarily that he'll be stunted playing CHL games next year. And I think that there's a pretty decent chance the Flames would like him to, at the very least, get into some NHL games next year as a 19. So, yes, he's not eligible to play in the American League next year, but I don't think that that means that he'll have his development stunted by playing another year in the CHL if he has to. And I do believe that Craig Conroy will give him every opportunity to impress enough in camp so that he can potentially earned some NHL games. And finally from Jared, Flames played great but got goalied a bit, and they took a few penalties that were bad and cost them. Uyghur's early mistake also cost them. Other than those few lapses, they played well, but that's what happens against the top team who can take advantage of mistakes. What did you think of Klapka? Now, that Klapka was decent other than the penalty. That's a penalty you just can't take at that time. Otherwise, I thought he had a pretty decent game in limited work, but I thought that fourth line played generally pretty well. Klapka only played 7 minutes tonight. One hit, one takeaway. He did win a faceoff as well. Klapka played 7 minutes. Bishop played 7:17, and Lomberg played 7:55. So wasn't a night where you saw a lot of the fourth line, but when he was out there, I thought he was pretty decent, all things considered. Okay, back to the phone lines for a few more following a Flames 3-1 loss to the Washington Capitals. It's Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk postgame show, wherever you get your podcasts. And let's say hello to our friend Robert. What's up, Robert?
Hello, Patty.
What's up, sir?
You know why I'm calling, eh? I told your producer of the air, eh? You know, Patty, I'm going to throw a party like the old days of Shanks.
Ooh, like we used to have. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I love those.
If you come one this year, I'm going to plan it. You know my first invite's going to be besides you? Eugenio. Ew. Eugenio. Did he bring up my Inter Milan losing a trophy? Anyway, it's not a soccer show. Not only would I, you know what saves him tonight? He's like he's now on a three-way conference call on this network. Because I would give him a soccer education about his Juventus, but this is not a soccer show, that in a civil nation, they should have been radiated. You know, I would give him such a soccer education. The day I see him again at Shanks, I'm going to invite all the boys that used to come every day, but I'm going to give them such a soccer education, and then I'm going to give them a hockey education. let's finish him with the soccer. His beloved team is the most hated team in Italy, in the shame of international soccer. The scandals, what they've done, they should have been radiated. They're the most hated team. They have one thing that they got right. They have the right colors, black and blue. Incarceration, prisoners. They're the most scandalized club in the world. And in Italy, everybody hates them. And I'll give them that soccer education when he brings my Inter Milan. Yes, we lost the Super Cup. The Super Cup is not a big championship. It's like Real Madrid Copa del Rey. It's not about that. You never touched three things in my life: my Inter Milan, my Flames, and my Ferrari. But I will give him a soccer education. And he's the first invited. You're the first because you're the man. And then all the boys that you know, we're going to have a party because I want to have a party to see all the boys again. It's been a long time. And I'm going to try and plan it. Once I plan it, I'm going to give everybody the information. A Shanks trophy, a Shanks on the cloud, and we're going to get together.
Okay.
And now let's go to Eugenio again. He actually mentioned Kuzmenko in the same sentence as Ovechkin. He said Ovechkin looks low. Honestly, Eugenio, I hope you're in this. I'm going to give you such an education on hockey and soccer. He mentioned Kuzmenko on the same sentence with Ovechkin. Are you kidding me? Daddy, did that go by you when he said that?
No, I knew what he, but I'll defend him a little bit. I knew what he was trying to say.
No. Okay.
Play to a guy's strength. He was not comparing Kuzmenko to Ovechkin.
No. What was he saying?
He was just saying play to Kuzmenko's strengths, and that was pretty much all.
I hope he's listening to this, Pat. I hope he, Patty, you know, the greatest goal scorer of all time. He's basing his information on 2-3 games Kuzmenko. He's actually trying to tell me, because I took it personally, that Luke Kuzmenko is a good player in his mind. That's what he was trying to say. Anyway, Patty. Oh.
Yes, let's move on.
Okay. I want to tell you a few things, Patty. When the trade deadline comes, give me 2-3 players that are not going to be on this team.
Honestly, Robert, I don't know if there'll be that many that won't be on the team. I mean, unless they fall completely out of it, I don't know if I see them selling in a big way. I think that there's a chance that they would try to move, like, see what they could get for a guy like Rooney and see if there's anything there. Honestly,
Cole,
though,
like, Kadri, nothing.
I don't. Unless there's an offer that they feel is like, hey, this team really, really wants Kadri and is willing to pay a significant price for it, and maybe more than another team might be willing to pay, or like we're going to get a really, really sweet deal on this. I don't know. I don't think they're going to be eagerly trying to move Kadri.
Daddy, did that Rantanen new trade cut you off guard?
Obviously, yes. I mean, I for a few different reasons. The fact that Colorado decided to move him and not just take their chances even surprised me a little bit, because they are a Stanley Cup contender. So a little bit. I sure did like their pragmatism with a pending unrestricted free agent. And I thought they got a pretty good return, but I also thought that they got worse in the immediacy, which, you know, isn't necessarily the greatest thing when you're trying to win a Stanley Cup either, right?
And that's what exactly. Daddy, you know my business. I don't want to harp, but you know my business, you know, the picks. Daddy, say we sneak into the playoffs. You know the chance we're playing Edmonton. That would be good in a way, but it wouldn't be good.
Because I mean, they could play Edmonton. They could play Vegas. They could play Winnipeg. Those are kind of the teams that would probably be the most likely that they end up playing.
So, you know, Patty, I'm going to say this because it's my personal opinion, and I agree what you said. Maybe there won't be any kind of movement. Maybe I want more movement expected because I'm looking more of the long-term plan with the picks. You know, I don't want to go over that. And I'm looking at that. But, Patty, it has to come to – here's my thought of it, Patty. When trade leg comes, whatever, if you're close or not, Conroy, not one senator, six senators. So if he's on busy, the other one's free. And Patty, we got it. We got to, Patty. I don't want to come here that I don't want the team to make the playoffs, because then he says, if you're a Flame fans, how can you not want them to make the playoffs? That's not the question, Patty. The question is, the way I look at the situation of this hockey club and what I've been used to, making the playoffs to me would be another blow, another setback. So, and you're right. I mean, if somebody doesn't offer you for Kadri, you know, you're not going to just give them away. But I think, Patty, those conversations have to be had. I think you have to try and move. Patty, you have to move them. You have to move them. That's the way I feel. I think you have to move if you truly believe the process in the plan. Patty, Kadri, Dax, how many years they got left? Anyway, I don't want to go because now I'm just going to ramble. Anyway, Patty, it was a pleasure. I hope tomorrow you're going to watch Champions League for sure, right?
You're
going to watch that.
I want to see. They're in. They're in. I just want to see where they're going to finish.
Yeah, we're going to finish third or fourth. Patty, I want to ask you before I go quickly, because I know you love F1. Hamilton with the red. He looks good. You got to say that, though, right?
It looks
so. That uniform looks good on Lewis.
It looks so weird, but it does look good.
Rob, Patty, you're not going to play with me. You know the legend, eh? You know, you can give me all your birds up, and you know it's kind of funny. Eh? The greatest two drivers, Schumacher, Hamilton, by record and wins, and Verstappen will probably be close one day, but they won everything, but it's the Ferrari, baby. You know that, Patty. It's the legend. There's nothing like us getting you to that Ferrari. Nothing. There's no feeling in the world in getting out that red machine. You know that. Take care, buddy. See you. And Patty, when I get all the details, Patty, I'm going to let everybody know.
Yes, please do. That'd be awesome, Robert.
Thank you, buddy. Take care.
We'll talk to you soon, my man. And he's right. There is nothing quite like the Ferrari. There's nobody's going to dispute that, my friend. That one, they are the legend. They are the most famous. There's no doubt about that. Let's say hello to Logan on the phone lines tonight. What's up, Logan?
Hey, Pat. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Oh, good, good. Just had a couple things to say. I thought Tyson Berry looked very good out there tonight, and I think you got to keep Miramanov out of the lineup. But at this point, he hasn't looked good. I thought Tyson Berry, if you can keep this play up, then you keep him in. I'd be surprised if they took him out of the lineup Thursday night.
Thing that would maybe change that is if Ball's ready to return.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not suggesting that he would be. We honestly don't have like a set timeline for him, but that would be one thing that would change that up because Barry would probably be the guy to come out if Ball's ready to come back. But as of right now, I'd keep him in for another game too.
Oh yeah, exactly. We'll see. Hopefully, Ball gets in as soon as possible. He's been great all year. But, I mean, a couple of losses in a row, but I can't be mad at the way the team's played. I feel like the effort's been there. It's just the lack of scoring, and that's really it to me. Like, I feel like these past two games, we've actually looked quite good 5-on-5. We just can't seem to put the puck in the net. And, I mean, Logan Thompson, fantastic goalie. We couldn't get anything past him tonight. But I thought the last two games, we've actually looked fairly good. And it's not great that we lost, but I think there's promise in how the team's been playing, and I think the guys in the dressing room will probably think the same way, and if they can keep playing this way, I think we do have a good chance of making playoffs. And I mean, we're, 5 points behind Colorado as well. Not going to say we're going to catch them, but I think
the important thing is they're in the mix, period, right? Like, they're right there in it. They're holding down a spot right now. They're protecting, and they're in a good position right now. We'll see how long that position lasts for, if it gets worse, if it gets better. Like, but they're in a good spot, and it's tough to deny that. And they're also in the driver's seat, and they're kind of in a spot where they control their own destiny if they're going to do this thing. And they still have to take care of their business, and they still have to make sure that they don't go on extended skids or anything like that. But, you know, for this team to be well past the midway mark of the season and be factually in control of their playoff destiny is a pretty impressive thing that they should be, I don't want to say proud of, because they haven't accomplished anything yet, and they'll be the first to tell you that, but I do think that there's something that they can be like, hey, you know what, we've exceeded expectations on the outside and played with a little chip on the shoulder all year, and it's gotten them to this point, and now it's all about continuing that, right?
Not exactly, and I think if we continue playing the way we have been, there's never a lack of effort with this team. I think we'll be fighting for a playoff spot until the end of the season. And for those that say team tank, I'm not on board with it. I mean, I think that ship has also sailed. Like, the way this team plays, we're not going to finish in the bottom 10, in my opinion. I think, and for me, I love watching playoff hockey. So maybe we don't make it past the first round, but it's still fun to see the Flames in the postseason. So, I mean, I can't complain with the way the team is playing. And just even compared to the last couple of seasons where we have missed, I find this year, just watching the games, I feel like there's just a lot more energy, I find. And I mean, there's a lot of distractions the past couple of years, but I just find this team they just look more combined as a team, and they just look better this year, in my opinion. I think they've proved the doubters wrong, and I mean, I hope we make playoffs, but we'll see what happens. And I think the next six games here are going to be really the turning point in the season if we can see what happens in these next six games. But if we can get
win more than lose, then I think we're going to be sitting in a good spot.
Yep, it's and I agree with you that these next few games are pretty pretty crucial ones, just in terms of even where, you know, going into the Four Nations break, where this team might be. So yeah, it's going to be they're in a good spot. They're protecting, and now they just got to keep it going.
Well, exactly. That's all for me tonight, Pat. But I love the show, and keep her going.
Great stuff, Logan. Call back anytime.
Yep, for sure. Sounds good, Pat. Have a good night.
That'll wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. That'll wrap us up on the text line as well. Always appreciate all your phone calls. Always appreciate your text, 960-960. And we'll do it all over again on Thursday as the Flames fall in this game tonight, 3-1. To the Washington Capitals. It's time for our final summary on our Flames Talk postgame show this evening as Washington scored early to take a 1-0 lead. Pierre-Luc Dubois with his 11th of the year at the 151 mark, an unassisted goal to give Washington a 1-0 lead. But Calgary gets that back at the 12:17 mark of the second period. Nice power play redirect from Blake Coleman. He scores his 11th. Coleman from Tyson Barrie and Andre Kuzmenko. We had a 1-1 tie, but a little less than 3 minutes after that, Capitals get themselves a power play, and not just a 5-on-4, but an extended 5-on-3, and Dylan Strom scores the eventual game winner at 15-11 on that 5-on-3. Strom's 13th from John Carlson and Jacob Chychrun to make it 2-1 Washington. That's your score after 40 minutes of play. Caps add one more late in the third period. Breakaway goal from Alexei Protas, his 21st of the year, from Lars Eller and Trevor Van Riemsdyk at 17:35. That made it 3-1. That ends up being your final score. Final shots were 33-23 in favor of the Flames. Calgary goes 1-for-5 on the power play tonight. Washington 1-for-4 with the man advantage. Your three stars in the building tonight. Number 3, Tyson Barrie. Number 2, Dylan Strom. And making 32 stops tonight was Logan Thompson of the Capitals. Hardest working Flame as selected by Megan Mickelson tonight was Tyson Barrie. With the loss, Flames fall to 24-18. 18-7. They're back in action on Thursday at home to Anaheim, while Washington improves to a league best 34-11-5. They're back in action Thursday on the road in Ottawa. That is our final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for our on-site engineers Tim Khalil and Evan Cody, for our reporter Logan Gordon, and for our outstanding producers Azam Ali Nanji, Shan Virgie, and Cam Hughes, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk postgame show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up for the Flames, they host the Anaheim Ducks Thursday night. That is a 7 o'clock faceoff right here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan will be on the air with your Calgary Flames warm-up at 6 o'clock. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. Final score here from the Dome. Flames fall 3-1 to the Washington Capitals. This has been your Flames Talk postgame show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.